Let's go straight down into the pit lane where Lindy has more for us. Lindy?
Johnny Cochran, the 007 Aston Martin. This is your first time on this course. What do you think?
No, absolutely love it. I mean, the circuit's fantastic. Like you say, it's my first time here, but also we missed out a little bit yesterday with an electrical problem. So we've lost basically an hour and a half of running already. So, you know, today is going to be, you know, we're always fighting against it a little bit because obviously we need the time in the car to learn the circuit, but also to, you know, to kind of get the car up to scratch and get a decent setup on for the race and qualifying especially. So, no, it's a fantastic place, really enjoying it, but yeah, just wish we were a little bit quicker, really.
Talk about the car. What changes have you made? How's it performing now?
Well, to now we've had a problem with just this morning, yesterday. A little fault with the electronics, which has been intermittent. It was always tricky to find, really, and to track down what that was to sort it out. But up to now, yeah, just the car, you know, is the development this year, and we're getting better and better every race, for sure. But, you know, coming to a championship like this against the top teams in the world and also the drivers as well, it's never going to be easy. So, well, at least we're going in the right direction. We're always improving, and up until now, you know, we've always been making steps forward, which is the important thing. So, yeah, it's good.
And you're getting ready to get into the car and qualify. What's going through your mind right now, what you need to do?
Yeah, I mean, I just did a practice qualifying run there, and, yeah, I think we're going to make a couple of small changes to the car, but other than that, really, just knuckle down and try and get a good time out of it. And yeah, for sure I'll be doing my best, and everybody's putting 100% effort in to get the best out of everything, but we'll see.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
It's Lindy down there in the pit lane with Johnny Cocker. There, as you've heard, have had a fraught time recently. Great to have Nigel Mansell, former Formula One world champion and Champ Car champion as well, in the studio with us. Long time since I've seen Nigel, but he hasn't changed a bit. Still looks very fit, very sharp, and ready to go racing, he's just told us. Could feel that one going on the message boards already. Let's go back down to the pit lane where Kelly has now got another interview for us. Kelly, who you got?
I've got Dominic Farnbacher from the 71 Tafel Ferrari, coming off that win at Mid-Ohio. And Dominic, we've seen you guys do really well with the pit strategies on some of those shorter races. We've seen you come from fourth to first a couple of times, third to first, in a four-hour race. Is that where this is going to be won and lost, or how does this race play out?
I think it's going to be the same than the races before. Good, it's a little bit longer, that race, but I guess it's going to be a lot. It has a lot to do with the pit strategy and, of course, to do no mistakes, and I think we can do that.
You pulled a fast lap during your little stint here, and now it looks like Dirk Müller, your teammate, is also looks really quick. Where do you think you guys are making up time on your competitors?
I think we're doing a lot of time with our Ferrari in the fast corners, and especially here in North America, you have a lot of fast sweepers and fast kinks, and our car is just great there and so neutral, and it's a good car so far, and I think in qualifying we will be very fast.
You said that you've got to be brave in parts of this course to carry the speed you need through some of those corners. Do you think that drivers with the experience will have a little bit of edge here?
Yeah, of course. I mean, a lot of people know the track here, and good for me, it's new, and for Dirk, it's not new, but we did it last year, and Dirk did it a few years ago, and it's hard to find all the secrets at this track, because this track has a lot of secrets, and you really have to walk around the track and find these spots where you have to drive on and which have a little bit more grip than the others. And we were very, very, yeah, we worked hard for that, and we walked around the track and looked at the spots, and I think that gave us a good result so far.
All right, well, we'll have to see how it plays out in qualifying. Thanks, Dominic.
Thank you.
All right, Dominic Farnbacher in the 71 Tafel Ferrari, John.
Yeah, they've been really just steadily improving this year. Fastest time at the moment, a 2.069, only one of the GT2 cars in the 06s. Ollie Gavin leads Jan Magnussen in GT1, and a change at the top with Gilles de Ferran now into second position, the 66 car. Just half a second or thereabouts away from Lucas Lowe's fantastic 148.5. So a 48.5 for Lowe in the number 2 Audi. A 49.1 for De Ferran in the 66 Acura. Marcel Fazler in the number 1 Audi. Fessler in that car for the first time this weekend, a 49.4. David Brabham down to fourth now in a 49.7 in the number nine Tequila Patron Acura. And Pat Long in fifth. First time I've seen Pat in the car this weekend. And that's the 6 DHL Penske Porsche. One of the Porsches just had a little grassy moment on turn 14, the final corner. The 7 car just behind him in 6th position. And the top 10 made up by Adrian Fernandez in the Los Fernandez Acura, a second and a half away from the Audi in 7th. 8th, another 10th further back is Frank Montani. Looked quick early on, just hasn't improved so far. 9th in the 16 Porsche, Chris Dyson and Marino Franchitti in the 20 Dyson Porsche in 10th position. So that's how it stands at the moment with, 24 minutes on the clock. Just watching some of the times come through now, and Tafel confirmed as the fastest car in GT2 with the 45 Lizards in second place, half a second between them. Another 2 tenths back, Richard Westbrook in the Farnbacher Lulz Racing Porsche, then Harrison Bricks in the 61 car. That's the 2076 that Rob Bell put in earlier on, which was good enough for second position at the time. Jamie Melo with that early time as well, a 2079 in fifth position, top six. Johannes van Overbeck, the 46 Flying Lizard. So who's not in the top six that really should be? Well, Tom Milner Jr. in the 21 Pinos this morning, third position for that car, 2091. The time for that car, so he's a little to make up, about a second and a half, not more than that actually. Also looking down the VC Racing Porsche down in 8th position. Let's go down into the pit lane again to Lindy Thaxton, who's part of our American Le Mans Series Radio Network pit team this weekend, and she's with James Rossiter down there in the pit lane, new man in the series this weekend.
Not only is it your first time at this track, it is your first time in the number 26 Acura. How is it going, and how do you come into this so quickly?
It's been a big learning curve. Obviously, yesterday was the first time in the car, first time with the team, and Andretti Green, a great team, and the car, we improved a lot from yesterday to today, and hopefully we're going to have a really good car for the qualifying later on, so we'll see.
What do you think of the track, all the straightaways and the turns? A lot of people, it's their favorite. What do you think?
It's very good. It's a little bit bumpy in places. I really like the fact it's up and down, and you got a lot of different corners, so it's good fun to drive for sure.
And what's your game plan today? I know you were in the car this morning. I see you're not driving right now. Frank's going to qualify?
Yes, Frank's going to qualify. And I had a lot to learn, and I've learned quite a lot, and we made good progress with the car, so I was happy to let Frank concentrate on getting the car right for him for qualifying, and then I'll just do the best job in the race. Then at the next race, I'll maybe be able to play a bigger part.
Well, welcome, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good to see the new boys doing well. Rob Bell's up to speed pretty quickly. Clearly, Marcel Fetzler is doing his job and has settled into business in the cockpit of the Audi very well indeed. Gregor Fisken yet to get any meaningful running, I think, in that Intersport Racing Lola. They've had engine problems this weekend. Jeremy Shaw's rejoined us. Nice to see Nigel again, Nigel Mansell. And you know what? I probably haven't seen him since Autosport Show 3 or 4 years ago, and he hasn't changed a bit.
No, he's exactly the same, isn't it? It's great to see the whole family here this weekend. His wife, Roseanne, and daughter, Chloe, and new grandson as well here this weekend, and enjoying a family weekend. Nigel's birthday, so he's on good form, actually, and certainly loving his involvement in motor racing still. I mean, you can't take the racing out of the boy, can you?
He's still quick as well.
Well, you know, and he's saying he's doing his karting, Southwest Karting Championship in the UK, and you know, he is looking to win the championship in the final round in a couple of weeks' time, let alone the boys, so it's great to see.
And in fairness, and I'm sure, nobody's going to look at him and say he's at his weight when he was racing in Formula One. He's, as we all do, as we get a bit older, he's put on a few pounds, so he's racing against these kids who are 3 stone 7 wet right through. So, he's he's clearly still got all the silky skills.
He has, and he very much enjoyed driving that Chamberlain Synergy Motorsport Lola 80R at Estoril, and he was quick. I mean, the guy was seriously quick by all accounts, and right off the bat, and no fitness problems for him, no neck problems for Nigel. He just got in the car and got on with the job, so it'd be great to see him back, that's for sure.
I think Bob Burridge would be the first to say that car isn't state-of-the-art by any stretch of the imagination now, but a good introduction into sports car racing. And what he's saying there is that he'd be happy to come back and do some racing here with the boys as soon as Petit Le Mans. I mean, Mansell on the side of a car, whatever it was. The PR value for anybody's team, any manufacturer, any car manufacturer, it's got to be a serious thought, hasn't it?
It has. Nigel, I know, the boys are disappointed. They were 16th or 17th and 19th in the Atlantic qualifying session just right before this ALMS session. But what people don't take into account is the lack of racing experience of the two boys. I mean, they started karting 3 years ago.
Yes.
I watched them through BMW. Yeah, they've done very little racing, and there is, as Nigel himself knows, there's no substitute for mileage. And I was talking just to his wife Roseanne this morning, and she's saying, she's probably regretting the fact they didn't let him drive karts earlier when they really wanted to. But the family, or mum and pop, wanted the boys to really want to go racing, not just because their father was a former world champion.
Let's go back down into the pit lane now, and we've got Kelly and Lindy down there this weekend. Let's go to Kelly first of all.
I'm down here at Flying Lizard. I've got Wolf Hensler in the 45 Flying Lizard Porsche. Pulled some pretty fast lap times out there. Kind of become a Porsche-Ferrari battle between you and the Tafel guys. Do you think either car has an advantage on this course?
When we look back in the season, I think no car, either the Ferrari nor the Porsche, had an advantage somewhere. It looks to be that the cars are pretty similar here, and I think it all will go down in the qualifying. I think it will be very, very close between the Ferrari and the Porsche.
Have you guys been making any adjustments between the earlier practice, yesterday's testing, and what you want to see out of the car for qualifying?
Yeah, for sure. We always do adjustments and try things and running through a program. But now we have to get to an end because the qualifying is coming soon.
Yeah. Tell me what it's like getting out there and competing with such a narrow lead in the championship points. Does that affect your mindset as a driver at all?
No, I mean, for me, it doesn't matter if I have 4 points or 20 points. We're always pushing hard, and we always want to win the race.
Of course, you and York are both very experienced drivers, and he's had a lot of success specifically at this track. In this series, does that help give you a boost of confidence?
Yeah, for sure, York is running a couple of years more than ALMS. But I did many races in ALMS, so I think I also have enough experience. And it's good to be with York, and I think we fit quite good together this year.
Seems to be working out pretty well. Good luck out there, Wolf.
Thank you.
All right, Wolf Hensler in the 45 Flying Lizard Porsche.
Yeah, that car is third position in class at the moment, and just 7/10 between first and third position. Another 2/10 further back that time that Rob Bell put in this morning. I'm terribly impressed how quickly he's got down to business. Normally drives for the Vigo Motorsport team in Europe in the Dunlop-Shod Ferrari. A very professional-looking team that has hardly any full-time employees. Rob was telling me, and it is, it's Le Mans Series next weekend at the Nürburgring, so we'll be back on that trail on Saturday and Sunday here on RadioLeMans.com. He was telling me at Spa, and I found it actually very difficult to believe, they only have, I think, he said either two or three full-time members of that team. Everyone else is a weekend warrior. And considering that they do some of the best pit stops in the Le Mans Series, that's tremendous. It just goes to show what can be done with a bit of passion. The guys are obviously full-time mechanics, but work in dealerships and are flown in from all points around Europe to go and support the car on the race weekend. Back at the shop, there's a couple of full-timers that prep the car in between time. Now, he's gone from that into Giuseppe Ricci's team, which is I would say, the complete antithesis of that, quite honestly. They're about as good as they get, and they have a big full-time team.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah. I mean, one of the things, the Le Mans series in Europe, really, they have, what, five races, plus Le Mans, of course, which is a big deal. So over here, with 11 races and probably back to 12 next year, the American Le Mans series is much more of a full-time schedule, so much easier to justify the expense of having more full-time employees. It's pretty tricky. The operation, isn't it, putting together a team in the Le Mans series when you have so few races, you're not really able to amortize those costs over the course of a full season. There's the shot of the Patrone Highcroft Racing Acura going pretty slowly out on a track, going through the carousel. I don't know whether he just made a mistake. It's David Brabham at the wheel. Maybe he just made a mistake down at turn. I didn't see the beginning of it, but he seems to be up to speed now as he goes down through the kink and on toward Canada Corner.
Yes, the words Brabham and mistake are words that you don't get together, do you? There's normally a reason if Brabs ends up off the black stuff. Oh, well, yes, you know, he's a drum racing driver after all, let's be honest. Well, he's just heading through the kink where the Bill Mitchell Bridge used to be and heads up towards turn 14, turns in, and he'll be heading up the hill towards us in just a moment or two's time.
And
through goes Chris Dyson. And
stays out on the track, David Brabham.
Yeah.
So still Lucas Lure in car number two, the Audi R10 TDI, fastest in this session, 148.512.
Oh, Montani's improved, just
yes,
gone up
has.
The second, bumped Gilles de Ferran down to third. That's Lucas Lure's just done a 47.4 last time around.
That is a new track record here. It beats Alain Menisch's qualifying lap record set last year. 147.665 was Alain Menisch's track record for LMP1. Lucas Lure dips underneath that at 147.492. So he's really upping the ante there. Lucas Lure in car number two shares that car with Marco Werner, quickest of the LMP1 cars and fastest overall. And Frank Montagny second now in the 26th car of Andretti Green Racing, 149.035, which is just a couple of tenths away from from Romain Dumas' LMP2 qualifying record, also set 1 year ago.
Yeah, I've got a feeling.
Where are the Porsches? They're down in eighth and
The first Porsche is in fact Marino Franchini in seventh position. Oh, sorry, Patrick Long's one ahead of him. Yeah, sixth, seventh, eighth.
Curious. Because right out of the box in each of the other sessions so far this weekend, the Porsches have set a very fast early time and never really seem to improve much upon that. But
it's clearly they're having a meal break.
Sure. I think presumably we can assume they're qualifying, concentrating on race trim, race preparations. Of course, the race will start tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, isn't it? So
yeah,
hour and a half or so from now, in 24 hours' time.
Yeah. We've said this before, though, haven't we? And indeed, did we not have the same conversation at Mid-Ohio when we said, I'm afraid that the Penske Porsches are sadly off the pace, and then all of a sudden come round to even in qualifying, but certainly on race day, it all seems to drop into the slot for Roger Penske and his organisation.
David Brabham on the limit through turn one. Sorry,
and he's just gone into second place the lap previous. And he's not eased up at all. We'll watch David Brabham as we go down to Lindy in the pit lane. Lindy.
And Tim Pappas, you're just a few races in your Black Swan team. How are things going?
Well, this is for Black Swan. It's chapter 3 of a book that has many, many chapters. And we're right at the beginning. So we're pleased with the progress, but there's still a ton of work to do. Again, our partners, Falcon Tires, can't thank them enough. They've brought some good stuff for us this weekend. And we're just going to continue to try and make some slow progress. And really, it's all about 2009.
New to the series, but you're not new to this track.
Yeah, the track is great. I mean, Road America, you can't ask for a better place, better race fans. I've been racing here for about 7 years and was on the podium twice here. And I love it. So hopefully it'll be good for us this weekend.
What do you like best when it comes to the car you're in? Do you have an advantage on the straightaways, the turns?
Oh, it's fun because it's fast and it's wide open and, you know, you've got a lot of time to think and plan your strategy. So it's a fun place to race.
Tim Pappas, good luck.
Thank you.
I do like the way they've gone about this. The car looks fantastic. The colour scheme, everybody, you know, is used to that classic colour scheme. The car looks and sounds really good. And you know, it's just someone else who's been seduced by the American Le Mans series. And you know, the doors are wide open. Come on in and play.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, Falcantara certainly doesn't have a great history in road racing, but as you say, that colour scheme been seen in various other disciplines of the sport, particularly drifting, which it's been particularly big over here.
GT 5 and 300 in Japan, of course,
yep.
and that has translated over the years. There'll be a lot of people who will know the Falcon tyres, the blue and light green scheme, from playing Gran Turismo on PlayStation. You know, it's one of the classic colour schemes, normally with a Nissan, to be honest.
And as we've just really been mentioning, that team, they've taken a very sensible approach to the season. They didn't rush it. They waited till the car was ready. It's a brand new car, of course, this season, prepared by Doran Enterprises in Cincinnati, Ohio, and it's the second of those cars to be built. It's the sister car to the Robertson Racing Ford GT, and they've brought this program along slowly. They've just had a couple of races under their belt. I believe they're going to miss the next round at Mosport in order to do a little bit of testing, try a few more different iterations of the tyre compounds and constructions, and then come back a little bit stronger, they hope, for Detroit, and then the last couple of races of the season, and as Tim Pappas was saying, they're really preparing towards a full program in 2009.
And possibly not the last Ford we'll see in the American Le Mans Series this year. There are various rumours of a Ford Mustang, a rather special Ford Mustang, I have to say, making an appearance maybe by the last round of the season at Laguna Seca. And that I'm sure we'll hear more about. Just at lunchtime there, I had a word with a few people up and down the paddock, and it's at this stage, of course, of the season. It's not called silly season for nothing, but I think, you know, we should be able to distill the sense out of some of the things that are coming round for the back end of this season and certainly for the start of next season. And already people talking about more than 40 cars for Petit Le Mans, with a couple of Peugeots coming over and a couple of probably about another three or four European teams coming over to play for at least that race, if not staying on for Laguna. And then next year, well, really, depending on... I mean, if all the rumours that we've heard have come to fruition over the close season, then, you know, 35 or 40 cars may be a fairly regular thing here in the American Le Mans Series. Let's talk about, we're talking about people coming to the series. Marcel Fesler is just out of the car that he shares with Emmanuel Pirro, down in sixth position at the moment for the number one R10 TDI. At that end of the pit lane for the American Le Mans Series Radio Network is none other than our own Kelly Stavast.
Well, thanks, John. Not only is Marcel getting his first taste here at Road America, his first taste of ALMS, first taste of racing in America. Give me your first impressions.
Yeah, it's really it's amazing for me here to be here. It's also surprising. It's more than what I was expected to have, and it's really nice. It's a nice atmosphere to race here.
What's the challenge like, though, just hopping in this car, getting to know Emanuele a little bit, who you have to be teammates with, and coming out to a new track?
Yeah, you need to learn step by step. First, I need to learn the track a bit, and then I'm sure also the car. And it's not so easy because, you know, my teammates are really high professional. So, I'm still learning and try to do the job as good as possible.
Emanuele said that, you know, he's trying to help you along. And he's been through a number of teammates this season, and he likes to help out some of the younger guys. What kind of advice has he offered you?
Yeah, I can profit a lot from his experience about the car, about his racing, and especially about racing here in the States, because also for overtaking with the GT2 car sometimes it's not very easy. So he gave me a lot of tips where I can improve or what I should do better or what I should do change. And it helps me to get easier inside.
You knew there would be a learning curve. When you come into a situation like this, what kind of expectations do you have for yourself?
Yeah, sure. Normally, I'm always a person who put the level for me quite high, and so I try to do as fast as possible, and I would like to have a really nice result in the end of the race. But I know it will be quite tough, and I still have to watch a bit on the data as well. I can improve a bit more.
All right. Well, best of luck out there to you, and welcome to the ALMS.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's Marcel Fassler, the number one Audi prototype. John.
That'd be the number six car, isn't it? That's Pat Long, who's at the wheel of the six car at the moment. Pat Long clearly has been across in Europe and mixing with the Europeans for long enough to have learned all of the hand gestures that you need to know.
Yeah, there's quite a few there. They extended all the way from kind of turn two, which is the kink leading downhill to turn three, most of the way down the back straight. I don't know who he was gesturing at or to or about there, but
he was not a happy bunny.
No, he was very irate about something. Hopefully we'll find out what it was. We'll see who pursues him across the line when he comes around this time.
The guys from TV, Jim Rollers, providing us with the pictures again this weekend. It's Wheeler TV, as ever, shooting the pictures for Speed this weekend on Sunday here in the United States. And you'll also get that program on Motors TV back in the European region. He's telling us that although we were watching the onboard, he was looking at some of the outboard shots, and he actually steered alongside the offending car so that the guy could see him shaking his fist at him. He was making sure, he's just been right across the curbs at turn number one. He's accelerating hard down the hill, now on the brakes, down two gears, turn in, hammer the throttle. It's all happening so quickly, you almost can't take it in.
I think it must have been, one of the flying lizard cars, number 44, which is... Seth Nyman. He was the next car across the line. He was about 15 seconds or so after Patrick shot across the start-finish line in car number six. But if it was Seth, I think he better watch out at the end of the session, because Pat clearly was very happy. Of course, fellow Porsche drivers, of course, and you talked about it earlier on this afternoon. Flying Lizard, effectively now the factory-blessed Porsche team in GT2 in the American Le Mans Series. And they're running three cars this season, 44, 45, and 46. And Seth, the team owner, one of the team owners at Flying Lizards, is doing a very respectable job this year, it must be said. But he's also had a couple of perhaps stellar performances, including, of course, at Le Mans, where he got it all wrong and ended up taking...
with Pat Long.
Exactly, it took out Patrick Long. So I think what happened down there in turn two might not be unrelated to what happened at the end of the Mulsanne straight a couple of months ago.
Down into Canada Corner for Pat Long. That, I always used to think of Canada Corner as a slow hairpin. And you see them now, they're coming in, they're going down a couple of gears, turning, and just again getting back on the throttle so early that these, particularly the prototype cars, are carrying so much downforce. And that Porsche in particular has managed to find not only downforce that apparently doesn't create the requisite amount of drag that you think it should do, because it's still quick in a straight line.
Yeah, very quick in a straight line.
But they've also managed to design a car that responds well under the high-speed downforce cornering situations, but is soft enough to have mechanical grip as well. And normally you don't get those two things going hand in hand.
No, when you've got those two factors working in your favour, you're going to have a fast racing car. That's exactly what the Porsche RS Spyder has become. But at the moment, in this practice session at least, it's not the Porsches at the top of the charts in LMP2, as has been yesterday in the test session and this morning in the first official practice session. It is now David Brabham in car number 9, quickest in P2, second fastest overall, 148.418, which is about 0.4 of a second quicker than Romain Dumas' LMP2 lap record set last season.
And look at the gaps as well. Almost a full second between first and second, but then it's close between all those P2 cars. We're about to be visited by the lovely, fragrant Fiona, who has a handful of printed material here. In the other classes, we've got GT1, dominated as ever by the two GM Chevy Corvettes. The 62 Jamie Merlo Ferrari, the Ricci car, leads GT2 ahead of Dirk Muller for Ferrari. Then the first of the Porsches is the Flying Lizard 45. 87 is another Porsche, so two Porsches, two Ferraris in the top four. 87, Dirk Werner at the wheel of that. 61 is Harrison Bricks in fifth position, and in sixth, Tom Milner. I think we've had our wrists slapped by Fiona. I'm not sure about that, but Jeremy will tell me later. I'm sure.
I think positive. It's getting awfully close now, isn't it? Particularly in P2 there, a whole bunch of cars now down below the 1 minute 50 mark. We've got, 9 cars in total now below 1 minute 50. The quickest of all, well, still 147.4, Lucas Lure and Marco Werner in car number 2, the Audi R10 TDI, the LMP1 class. And then now, second fastest overall, still David Brabham, and then a string of P2 cars. It's David Brabham and Frank Montagny and Romain Dumoulin. As a checkered flag comes out for the end of official practice. Montagny third quickest overall for Andretti Green Racing, 148.4, just a few hundredths of a second slower than David Brabham as he improved on that last lap, did Frank Montagny. Both of them quicker now than the second of the R10 TDI Audis. Emanuele Pirro comes across the line that time at 148.6, so just two-tenths of a second covering those three cars in second, third, and fourth overall. Fifth overall, car number 7, Romain Dumas, 149.0. Then the car number 66, Gilles de Ferran and Simon Pagenaud, 149.1. Then the quickest of the two Dyson Racing cars, 149.3, set by Marino Franchitti, sharing that car number 20 with Butch Leitzinger. Then car number 15, Los Fernandez Racing, Adrian Fernandez and Luis Diaz, 149.6. And one-tenth of a second farther behind Patrick Long and Sascha Maassen, the second of the two DHL Penske Porsche RS Spiders, car number 6 at a 149.786. So just over 1 second covering the cars from second through to ninth overall.
I do, you know, you look at that and you think, oh, well, there you go. The Audi's a second quicker than Brabham, who's, and you know, tight. Montani's tight, and then Pirro's another tenth. So clearly, we know what's going to happen in the qualifying session. However, you can't say that in the American Le Mans Series, because what we don't know there is what people were doing in the latter half of that session. Whether they said, OK, we're quite happy with that now, let's go back to searching for a race balance, and then they'll pump out a bit of fuel and change the tyres and maybe crank a little bit of wing off and say to the guys, go and do a couple of Banzai laps. So it's you know, that's what I love this time of the weekend. Everything is still possible.
And what's interesting too is, I mean, there's this huge battle going on now in LMP2 between the Porsches and the Acuras. The Acuras really upped the ante this year, and Porsche responding with this new engine they brought on stream for the last race. A completely new injection system for that Porsche RS Spyder. And, you know, the battle there is just getting tougher and tougher, and they're really improving their lap times everywhere they go. They're quicker than last year's lap record here already in practice session, and I'm sure there's a lot more to come in qualifying this afternoon. We've seen, as you say, the LMP1 cars about a second quicker in practice so far this weekend. If we look at the lap times from 1 year ago, the gap between the quickest LMP1 and the quickest LMP2 car in qualifying was about 1.2 seconds. I fancy that might be a little bit closer this year around, but the Audis still, they're improving as well, and they might not have any competition here in the overall terms in LMP1 in terms of the factory effort, but you know, their eye is still on Le Mans, and the Peugeot team has just made a tremendous strides to be competitive. They didn't win Le Mans this year, that fell again to Audi, but Peugeot is working very hard to redress that balance and come out with an overall victory at Le Mans. Ultimately, we hear unofficially yet that Peugeot will be at Petit Le Mans in a couple of months' time, and that is going to be so exciting. We're going to see another of these Peugeot Audi battles, and that is going to be a lot of
fun. You didn't see the Peugeots at Sebring. You missed Sebring.
Well, I did, yes.
And you cannot believe the difference that it made to the Audi squad.
Yeah.
They were right on their metal and sometimes over the edge. You know, they were trying so hard. Now, let's replace the wide open spaces of Sebring, albeit with the bumps and the history, with the topography and the geography of Road Atlanta, 60,000 people there, right up close to the raceway, maybe 40 cars for a 10-hour battle into the darkness. I'm, you know, already I'm quite excited about it. And I'm sure that, you know, sports car fans who are listening to this will be going, I was thinking about going to Petit, but if they are, I'm going.
Book it.
Yeah, go. Get your hotels booked now.
I went to Le Mans this year, my first time there in over 20 years, and I picked the race to go to.
Oh, did you ever?
It wasn't a magnificent battle. The the Peugeots and the Audis all the way through. And in fact, you know, all four classes still remained undecided going into the final hour of the race. I don't think that's ever happened before, has it? I certainly can't remember it. And get ready for Petit Le Mans. It's going to be even better because not only are we going to have the Audis and the Peugeots going at it for overall honours, but in the American Le Mans series, there's a slightly... the equivalency formula between LMP1 and LMP2 is a lot closer than it is in Europe. So I think you can throw in the Porsches and the Acuras as well and make it a four-way manufacturer battle for the overall victory. It's going to be fantastic.
Now, as ever, in the TV truck, making sure that the world gets to see the American Le Mans series, is Jim Rawler, who is linked to us here in the booth. Are you listening, Jim?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right.
We've got some exciting news for internet, anyone who's on the internet and follows the American Le Mans series, from the Mosport round, which is the next round in, what, 3.5-4 weeks' time?
Yes, we do.
We're going to
dish the dirt, is that what you want me to
do?
Yes,
come on.
We will be streaming live the qualifying from Mosport, first time. It'll be on speedtv.com. And it will also be on AmericanLeMans.com. And it will have the call that you do normally with our pictures. And people are going to get to see what we have been enjoying doing for the last couple of years. So it's something not to be missed. Not to be missed.
We've had in the last couple of races, I think going back as far as Long Beach, we've had the opportunity to see that as a download on demand or a view on demand file the early part of the following week. But this is going to be absolutely live, Jim, is it?
Yes, it is.
Wow, okay. So now everyone gets to see the same as we see. And I should say here, and I don't expect Jim to comment on this, but we can only do the type of call that we do on qualifying because we can't see the whole track. We can only do it because of the pictures that Jim and Billy McCoy and the rest of the TV crew provide for us during the qualifying session. Clearly, even at a short track, never mind around the 4.05 miles of Road America, there's no way you can see the whole track. And the kind of coverage that we're shouting and getting excited about is because we effectively get to see everything all at the same time. So that starts at...
From Nipperton, hovering above the race.
Yes, exactly. So that starts at Mosport. Well, we're looking forward to that. And again, we should mention as well again, as the Aston Martin 007 in pit lane has been jacked up as if it's a Harrier about to go off the deck of the Ark Royal off the ski ramp. We should mention again, though, Jim, that that you guys do the whole series for the American Le Mans series, regardless of who's broadcasting. And HD again this weekend?
Yes, we are. HD for the rest of the season.
Ooh, lovely.
Yep.
I just wish we could see it in HD back in Europe. We don't. It doesn't make the trip in HD, unfortunately.
I could see it HD back over here, to be honest.
Well, just spend some money, sure.
I've got an HD TV. I just don't get speed in HD.
I'm sure you can. DirecTV.
There you go.
Satellite. Yes, quite damn it.
Yeah. Dish on the side of the house, and then you'll never go out and enjoy that Californian sunshine, Jeremy. Jim, thanks very much. And
tell him to unzip his pocket.
Yes, absolutely. I did hear...
He's not Scottish either, is he?
No, no Scottish in him whatsoever. It's not Bill Adam we're talking about.
My air conditioning system broke last week, so that's not good news.
one thing, I know that we're out on the pier at the moment, Jim. I did hear that because how busy it was yesterday on track... that some of the unsung heroes of the TV broadcast, the camera riggers and the camera guys, were here till 11 o'clock last night and then back at 5 a.m. this morning. Is that right?
Yes, they were, and they have done a yeoman's job. If you see a camera person out there, hug them. They have done a great job. They are the best television crew on the planet. It's a group of folks that travel with us. The core group travels with us to every race, and Billy McCoy and I could not ask for a better group of people. They are, without a doubt, the best camera jockeys on the planet.
Jim, thanks very much. Best of luck for this weekend over there in the TV compound, and pass on our best to everybody, won't you?
Thanks, mate.
Jim Rawler out there in the TV compound just behind us. He'll be talking to me in my ear as well through this next session. And we should also add our thanks and appreciation to all the corner workers and the IMSA safety crew, without whom we couldn't go racing as well. Beautiful weekend at the moment, but quite often standing in the pouring rain is not the nicest job, although you do get the best seat in the house. And if any of you are wondering how to help motorsport and how to get involved in motorsport, but you maybe don't have either the talent or the finances to go driving, and your finances will run out long before your talent will, no matter how rich you are, I will tell you that now. Then being a part of the marshalling, the corner working crew, or the officials here is always a way to support your sport. And if you want to ask about how to do that, ask any of the corner workers here this weekend, and they'll give you some details of how you can sign up and be part of motorsport at the